Have you ever lived in a culture in which people explain all life's coincidences by saying, it was written, and what they mean is that it should happen that way? Hi, this is Darko Stefanovic from Walla Walla College School of Theology. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today we are continuing a series of topics based on the book called the Book of Ecclesiastes from the Bible. To help us explore this challenging book, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Anthony Abbey, Chair of the Computer Science Department at Walla Walla College, and Professor Jean-Paul Crimon, Chair of Modern Languages Department, also at Walla Walla College. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
And I also express my appreciation for Suzanne, who is patiently working with us here in the studio. The Catalogue of Times, Ecclesiastes 3. Let me introduce it by saying the following. Among the neighboring nations of ancient Israel, there was a widespread belief that all events in history are predetermined by the gods. An impersonal force known as fate controlled the destiny of all things. Fate was written on tablets which could at times get into wrong hands. Once, for example, the bird god Anzu stole those tablets, and this accident caused a stir among the gods until Anzu was killed. The author of Ecclesiastes relates the events from history as well as from one's personal life to God and his providence. So he boldly states that God has made everything beautiful in his time. The first eight verses, they contain that catalog of times. My question to you would be, what is the teacher trying to say by presenting the catalog of times?
I think, as I said before, this is, I don't agree on the term catalog of times. Don't forget, this is a retrospective gaze at different events that can happen in a lifetime. So, if we see it this way, the term predeterminism doesn't fit here. Mm-hmm. So I don't like this term catalog of times.
I know that it's difficult from our modern perspective, at least for me, to get back into the mindset of somebody at that time. But I have always looked at this as saying or suggesting that every human activity has a place. And not all activities are appropriate at any particular time. It suggests there's a time for war. There's a time for peace. We have to find that balance. And for me, this along with the vanity of vanities is the passage from Ecclesiastes that is very meaningful and enjoyable to read. And it reminds me of Pete Seeger's song from the 60s, Turn, 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 mm-hmm. To Everything There Is a Season. It's a great folk song.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of our younger listeners, they may not know much about it, or they may not have heard it. So what should they do? Go to Google and?
Why, of course.
Type in.
The source of all knowledge.
What should they type in?
Oh, Pete Seeger. That's mm-hmm. spelled S-E-E-G-A-R.
The photograph is there, some lyrics.
Oh, absolutely.
And even the book of Ecclesiastes.
It is
chapter
there.
3 is mentioned there.
Yes, mm-hmm. in multiple mm-hmm. translations.
Good. Well, I promise to Jean-Paul that I will not use the term the catalog of times this afternoon again. because I see his point. If our lives are preordained, is there room for our active parts in everyday events? Or how much are we responsible for what takes place around us? Right now there is a lot of discussion about war and peace. Are wars, for example, as inevitable as rain or sunshine? Probably, Jean-Paul, this is something that you reacted to.
Well, I like this leitmotif, you know, that you know comes back and back in this book, is there is nothing new under the sun.
Very postmodern.
Postmodern, exactly. So, you know, wars come and wars go, and this is just what life is on this earth. But there is another thing or theme that this discourse of the teacher here carries is the theme of hope. Mm-hmm. And I like this idea of hope and nothing lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
Whether war or something else, there is an end to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of hope is very valuable to us. Mm-hmm.
But let's say that a teenager reads this, and this passage might be useful to remind him or her that life is many faceted. Sometimes I tell my son, who is now with us, the other one is away from home, but I tell him, we need to go to the hospital to visit a friend. That is also part of life. And tomorrow, maybe there will be a funeral service that we should attend. That may not be favorite place for you to go, yet it is good to remember that is a part of life. Anthony, I think you're a little more open to the title, which I should not pronounce again. Do you see that way? A reminder.
Absolutely. We need to be full participants in life.
Mm-hmm.
There is a tendency, I think, in many religious traditions to step back from life and to not be a full participant. And yet God has created us with capabilities and powers, abilities to think and to do. And I think this chapter in particular reminds us that we can enjoy life by doing what makes us human.
Hmm. And that brings us now to the passage, and I know that Jean-Paul is somewhat impatient. He would like us to go to the next passage. And, you know, I don't really blame you, because it is one of the nicest passages in the book of Ecclesiastes. Nicest, Anthony, in the sense of giving me that reassurance that I need when I read the book of Ecclesiastes, if you will. So I'm wondering if one of the two of you would like to read verses 11 through 14. Let me say that that passage is very nice, but it's not, again, without some statements that could be debated, as we'll see. But let's listen to the passage.
He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him.
It's a beautiful passage, a number of good statements. However, nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. I hope nobody will take these words out of context, right? They probably go together with, I know that everything God does will endure forever. But human beings, they do have a part in what takes place. Do we agree on that?
Well, I see this as an expression of an ideal. God is to use perhaps an inappropriate statement here, God is the ideal person, the one who is eternal forever, who never loses anything, who never suffers pain or disappointment. He's got the whole world in his hand, so to speak.
Right.
We are not in that state. And so it's this contrast between an ideal and reality.
Mm-hmm. I think we have here the two entities, you know, that we have God and man, and those two entities don't do the same things.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are assigned to human beings, tasks, and others to God.
Does this mean then that here is an invitation by the teacher to conform to God's plan, enjoy the blessings so that everything that God does will in the end be perfect and so on? Can it be taken that way?
Sure, sure. And I mentioned earlier the two themes of the macrocosmos.
Mm-hmm.
And micro, I'm sorry to go back to that, but this is very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's a continual interaction between those two entities, God and man.
Do you find that this passage relates somehow to the Genesis creation story, that from the beginning God's intention and God's plan was good for human beings, and that human beings were created to be a plan of that great plan of God? I find it, I don't know about you.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about your statement is, first of all, no, it didn't come across that way to me. But what I find is the more I learn and the more I mature, the more things I'm able to construct or meanings I'm able to extract from or create in text. Mm-hmm. And at this point, no, but you do. So now I have learned something.
I knew that you were a smart man.
Would you like to explain the statement from verse 11, which says that God has set eternity in our hearts? Were we created immortal? Is that what this passage is saying, or that something else? Or were we created as mortal, conditionally immortal?
I think if we stay in the framework I mentioned earlier, God, man, the universe, and in the biblical context, yeah, we sure can go for that, yeah.
Well, that is one of the controversial things about the book of Ecclesiastes, is that some see a very doubtful, uncertain expression of the future, of eternity. Just what we see is what we get.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things that allows this book to be read and appreciated by people of a wide variety of backgrounds. If it was coerced into a more ideological perspective, it would be less appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Another point, and we do not really have much time to discuss it, but it's going to come back, is that a part of life's enjoyment is food and drink. And by looking at Jean-Paul, I remember some of the things that I learned in France. For example, they like to say, j'adore manger. I adore food or eating and drink. And we'll be probably talking about that. That's a cultural aspect. In concluding, chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes teaches that times are set by God as opportunities that come in life. We as human beings are given freedom of choice as to what to do with those opportunities. Verse 12 summarizes the teaching of the whole chapter, perhaps the whole book, in the following words: be happy and do good as long as you live.
Yes.
I would like to thank both Dr. Anthony Abbey and Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud for their valuable contributions. Next time again, they will be my guests. I'm also grateful to Suzanne for her technical assistance. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the biblical book of Ecclesiastes. Thank you all for tuning in. For Probe, I'm Zdravko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.